Do you know the most often repeated advice in the Bible? It actually appears in the gospel today. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. This advice, or its variation, do not be afraid, appears exactly 365 times in the Bible, one time for each day of the year. You would think God's trying to tell us something, right? But studies show that as Americans, right, we are becoming more and more anxious at an alarming rate. Approximately 40 million Americans suffer from some form of anxiety disorder. That's about 20% of the population. And safety, health, finances, and the lack of understanding and loving relationships have seemed to be the greatest source of anxiety, unrest, and a lack of peace. And so many of our daily worries, big and small, revolve around some kind of fear of what will happen. So will he be okay on this trip? Will she have a car accident? Can I ever forgive my sibling? Am I doing what God wants me of the situation? What will the medical test reveal? Will his addiction get worse? Am I making the right decision? Will I really see my loved ones in heaven? The world tries to assuage such feelings and provide peace by saying, take matters into your own hands, accumulate wealth, power, popularity, control every aspect of your life, make sure you plan every single thing, make your future your own. And if you have all these things, it gives you a better sense of peace to deal with what lies ahead. But God's peace is totally different and relies on something altogether outside of this world. And it's not so much about preparing for what's next, but having trust in him in the now. Since many of our anxieties seem to revolve around some unknown future or what will happen next, I think the key to relieving such anxiety or anxiousness is to focus on what's happening now in the moment and of God's presence and what he can do right now. That is why I was so recently inspired by the Catholics in Sri Lanka. They began to return back to their churches for weekend masses at a high rate, and this occurred only weeks after the recent militant extremist Islamic terrorist attacks, which had left part of the churches blown up and many dead. And one would think that this might be the last place anybody would want to return to for fear of future attacks. Yet the parish priest, Father Fernando Marcielar, of Mother of Sorrows Church, only two blocks from the Church of St. Anthony, where the suicide bombers attacked, said the parishioners were really upset that we didn't have mass for 2 weeks. And when they discovered that I was having private masses in undisclosed locations during that time, they got really mad and they even scolded me because they wanted to attend. Stephen, 16 years old, and one of the altar boys who was serving at the Mass at St. Anthony's on the day the church was attacked, said that when he returned back to Mass, he was a little bit apprehensive. But he said after Mass, I felt so much better now that I have received communion. I had been going without it for 2 weeks. Jesus dwells in me. And I think, wow. Such a contrast, right, to sometimes our American society where we skip Mass sometimes just because we're tired, just because we have a sports game, just because, you know what, I have something else better to do. I have guests that are over. These Catholics in Sri Lanka seem to overcome their fear and their anxiety because they spent less time on the possibilities of what could happen and focus instead on God's presence with them right now. And they knew that overcoming their fear first started by drawing close to God in the here and now and seeking to have him dwell with them in this moment so that whatever they faced in the future, they knew they weren't facing it alone, but with him. Jesus gives us a surefire way to have peace in our heart when he says, whoever loves me will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make a dwelling with him. Jesus speaks such words to his disciples at the Last Supper, right before he was to undergo great agony himself. These words were spoken right before the Last Supper, before he was going to be crucified. And he looked at the disciples that evening, and he no doubt could have seen their future. And he knew to what great lengths they would have to go through to witness their love for him. And he did not wish for great anxiety to overcome them, cripple or paralyze them from completing the task at hand. So he promises them that not only he would never leave them, but he would dwell in them. Unlike the world's sense of peace, which seeks to remove all suffering and pain and give comfort even at the cost of others, God's peace wants us to experience ultimate joy in heaven. But he never makes the promise to rescue us from all pain and hardships along the way. But what he does is he assures us that he will accompany us each and every step in the journey to support us on our final destiny to our home in heaven. This was the case for Immaculée Elibigaza, the refugee survivor of the 1994 Rwandan genocide. I had met her once when I was still a seminarian, and I was struck by the utter sense of joy and peace that she radiated, despite having gone through so much, having to run to a Protestant pastor's house when a crowd of machete-armed Hutus bore down on her home, as her family belonged to the Tutsi tribe, and her father sent her off only minutes before he and the entire family were killed. And as she was hiding in the tiny bathroom in the pastor's bedroom with eight other women crammed up in a space for 91 days, there was one point in particular where she was overcome by great fear. The Hutus had entered the pastor's house, were ransacking the place, going up and through the ceilings, trying to find for any hidden people that were in the house. And all that she had was this cabinet that was propped up right in front of the bathroom door. And at that moment, Immaculée turned to God and she begged him, "God, how can I have more faith? I'm praying so hard, God. I'm so filled with fear and anxiety. Please have mercy, for I know that you are here." She felt faint and consciousness slipped away from her. And then when she said she looked up, she saw Jesus hovering above her in a pool of golden light with his arms reaching out to her. And he smiled, and when he smiled, she immediately said the constant aches and pains in her body had left, and there was no hunger, no thirst, and no fear. She said she was peaceful. And then Jesus spoke to her and said, "Immaculée, mountains are moved with faith, but if faith were easy, all the mountains would be gone. Trust in me and know that I will never leave you. Trust in me and have no fear. Trust in me, and I will save you, and I shall put my cross upon this door, and they will not be able to reach you. Trust in me, and you will live." Suddenly, she said she was on the floor of the bathroom again, her eyes wide open, staring at a giant cross of brilliant white light stretching from wall to wall in front of the bathroom door. The Hutus were not able to enter. "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you," Jesus says. Different anxieties and fears may arise. We are uncertain of the future, but what we do know is that when we follow God's word, "Whoever loves me keeps my word," God dwells most intimately within us. And despite our future health, despite people who may get angry with us by what we say and when we stand up for the truth, despite financial instability or whatever the world may try to attack us with, call on the Holy Spirit, for the one who is mightier than any foe or evil ultimately reminds us of the true source of peace, Jesus, who says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid, for I am with you."